And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is the greatest moment in the history of The Athletic. Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite non-award winning hour of fantasy baseball in the entire world.
Hey, now.
Award nominated hour of fantasy baseball. It's Under the Radar. With us, as always, your friend of mine, Derek Van Riper.
Yeah, I mean, if a silver medalist does really well in the Olympics, they don't say I'm a non-gold medalist, right? It's still good. Still really good.
We don't know we won the silver.
Well, it's the same kind of thing, right? You don't call Michelle Kwan a non-gold medalist.
Back after his one-week contract holdout, Ian Khan.
It's true. I had to hold out. What it didn't give me the opportunity to do was congratulate on the show our partner and friend, Derek Van Riper, and Eno and Britt for their wonderful win. Well-deserved. Made us all look good with it. Really happy for them. And tip my hat. Tip my hat to the FSWA winners for 2021, I guess it is, or for the 2020 season. Our boy, man, Nando, our boy, Derek, he took it home. He'd have been, I'm sure, happy to take it home with us as well, but I'm just glad he got one of them, and he really does deserve it.
All right. I'm sure it means a lot to him.
Hey, man, it's true. That's how I feel. I told him that, but first time I've had a chance to tell him on the show. So I wanted to take my opportunity because I was out last week. I want to thank Mike the Mouth for stepping in, a little mouthy, no doubt. And to give you a quick update, I did speak with Mike the Mouth this weekend. We had a good long talk. I enjoyed him. He's a good guy. He has a lot to offer as a person. And he did send me the script. We talked about it. I have given it most of a read, and in fact, I do like it. And I'm going to send it on to someone else to give it a read as well. And that's that. And I'll update that further as it goes. But I just wanted to give Mike a shout out. Thank him for coming on. And there we go.
Superplexers. Was that it? Multiplexers. Nice. All right, cool. Yeah.
It has some good stuff in it. It has some good stuff
so,
in it.
So, by the way, thanks to all the Mike the Mouth fans who gave us 5-star reviews, which actually brings me to something I wanted to. This is a segue I just accidentally created. You know, we don't ask you a lot on the show to give us 5-star reviews or stuff like that, listen and, subscribe, the usual stuff. But here's the thing. There's this baseball pods playoff thing going on right now with a lot of the podcasts. And obviously, you know, baseball pods, that's our boy. Yeah.
Right, Chris.
Yeah. Who takes care of our side bets, and we've mentioned him a few times. It's a great follow, baseball pods, at baseball pods.
Also has a good dynasty list.
It's just a fantastic, just click on follow when you get the chance. But, the three of us talked, and I think Ian and I talked about this a little more than DVR Ian and I. But we'd like to push everybody to vote for the podcast that we're facing. Not us, if that's cool with everybody. I don't think the voting's actually up yet, right? I think we're up on Wednesday. All right, yeah, okay, yeah, right. I guess he's putting them out one at a time. But look, when that does come up, you know, look, we're not saying this like we're cocky, but I think the whole point of this thing is to help elevate podcasts you might not know. And Chris does a fantastic job of just kind of like being the man who aggregates them and looks at them and stuff. So look, let's push them into the next round. We're good. We love everybody here. We love you all. We know you would vote for us if we asked you to. So we're asking you to vote for the other guy. With Prospects 1500, I think we're up against.
And also, not just vote for them, but yeah, to listen too. To them. Give them a listen. I mean, and that's the point of the prospect of the pod tournament. It feels a little awkward, frankly, to advocate for yourself in that spot. Personally, like, I don't feel comfortable. Hey, vote for us. Come on. We want to make it through to the next round. I know some people do that, and that's cool. And I have no judgment on anybody. But for me, just for me, I don't feel comfortable doing that. You know, if you listen to our show, that's awesome. Thank you. If people catch on to the show, that's awesome. But not to, I don't know, something about my past history and sort of like, you know, we do what we do. We're grateful for what we do. And we're in support of Chris for sure, and grateful to Chris for everything he's done for our show. And give 1500 Prospect 1500 a listen. And if you want to vote for them, that's great. You know, as you will. And we'll do the same in the next round. We're going to do the same throughout, because one of the things that I love about the fantasy world when it's at its best is that it's a brotherhood. There's enough competition in the game itself. You know, and the FSWAs was kind of fun, but there was no, like, you know, you don't try to win. You nominate yourself. You ask to be nominated. You get nominated. That's it. Like, you don't do anything else. You send in your thing. But I don't feel comfortable saying, hey, and I don't see it necessarily as indicative necessarily of. Anyway, that's how I feel. You know, I mean, that's my feeling on it. But with great love and respect for everybody, I think it's a lot of fun. And I do most importantly think it's an opportunity for people to listen to podcasts that otherwise they would not have been exposed to. All good. Yeah. Love it.
I'm exactly the same way. Chris has been amazing, like, setting up the side bets for us. We didn't even ask him to do it. He's like, hey, I'll do it. So we wanted to support him. But I'm like Ian. Like, I'm like, vote for us. Vote for the Futures Focus podcast. It's Prospects 1500. And actually, the dude who runs Prospects 1500 is a big cards guy, too. So, I dug deep. I'm like, oh, let me see more here.
I like that site. I like that site, 1500, Prospect 1500. I do go there from time to time to see what they're thinking.
I mean, they're deep. He's talking like college
players. All good.
Like, that's a very deep. It's kind of under the radar. People could probably appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. There we
DVR,
go.
DVR, you got any comments on here? Or are you being quiet? I don't think DVR agrees with us, but it's 2-1. So
I'm really pretty indifferent to it. I think it's a lot of fun for some people, and it's cool to listen to new shows.
As long as Rates and Barrels makes it to the second round.
I mean, there are a bunch of great pods out there, so whatever happens in the bracket. Sure. Have fun with it. Find some new shows, find some new follows, and thanks to Chris for putting it out there, because Chris goes out and elevates all of our work just on his own. That's a really cool thing. Most people don't take the time to do that, so I appreciate that. So have as much fun with that bracket as you possibly can.
All right. Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right. Let's move on to on today's show, we got a lot of stuff. We're gonna get to Ian's rankings announcement in a little bit. But I mean, as you all probably know, Ian's gonna be writing his dynasty rankings at The Athletic this year, and the draft kit comes out on Wednesday. We're recording this on Tuesday. I don't know when you listen to this, but comes out Wednesday with a lot of good stuff and a lot of new writers. Not just Ian. There are three other members of the class of 2021 who you'll learn about tomorrow, but. I'm going to say that just for a little bit because, you know, that's a teaser. And we got some emails. Good. We got some questions. We have some players we didn't get to last week with Mike the Mouth. And DVR can't push them down any more than he already has. So we're going to get on that. The first thing I want to get to, though, and I know this story is a couple days old, but that Mariners mess. I know the whole thing was on Kevin Mather, right? Like, everyone, Kevin Mather, what an idiot. You know, he's got to resign. And he did. But, like, if you actually read his comments, this was, like, a very honest assessment of his, you know, for good or for bad, that a lot of fantasy players can read into. So, like, once you get past all the anger of Kevin Mather, I mean, he was saying great things about Luis Torrens. He was talking about Logan Gilbert being in the rotation by, like, May. And he was really bullish on Mitch Haniger coming back and having an all-star season. And, like, I mean, so, you know, I read it, obviously, for sport to see, like, what did this guy say, like, at this luncheon that everyone's up in arms about? But, like, I was actually reading it and pulling more, like, Luis Torrens, he thinks, is going to be sharing the backstop for, like, the next 4 or 5 years. Logan Gilbert, he thinks, is going to be amazing in the rotation. And Mitch Haniger, and I mean, he might just be pumping up his own guys, but he did kind of remind us, like, Mitch Haniger was an all-star. And he had just, like, two really bad strings of terrible luck. And if he comes back, man, Mitch Haniger is super underrated. DVR, I'll go to you first.
The Mariners are an interesting team. I mean, before Kevin Mather's meltdown, which was an idiotic rant, it was unfiltered, if nothing else. And I think there was way more honesty than we were used to getting from someone in a front office. And again, ugly honesty mixed in as well. But to your point, Nando, you had a guy who was out there describing in detail the plans his organization had for manipulating service time, which is basically a cheat sheet for anybody who's interested in when these players are coming up to go, oh, well, this was their plan. Okay, Kelnick's going to be an early call-up in April. He's very much draftable in redraft. If you had any doubts about it, now you feel really good about it, right? Gilbert is a guy that maybe if you were on the fence for AL only, end game, or reserve, you would go ahead and draft him now. You know, so I do think there was some odd honest information in there for fantasy owners to walk away with. He also gave a ton of ammunition to the Players Association for the upcoming CBA negotiation on his way out the door. So good job there, buddy. But I think there's a bunch of players in this team that are worth talking about. I mean, I know Ty France is a guy you've liked for a long time. He's going to get a chance to play, right? You have situations like that, but you've got young guys too. You know, Julio Rodriguez, I've heard him described, I think it might have been on a Keith Law pod. He was the top prospect that Keith thought was most impacted by not having a year of development in 2020. That's not to say that everyone wasn't impacted, but a guy that had a lot to prove moving up to AA last year, we're kind of left not knowing how much he was able to accomplish at the alternate site. And as a result, you know, his chances of debuting, even prior to Kevin Mather's comments, I think were a little more up in the air than Kelnick's by comparison, right? So, you know, we're looking at this team and it's like there are young prospects, there are former prospects, even guys like J.P. Crawford for deeper leagues, Dylan Moore, who was a good story in the shortened season, Kyle Lewis, who was an early draft pick years ago, was finally healthy last season. Forgotten players like Jake Fraley, who might find some playing time for a brief stretch at least this season. And then you've got the next wave of guys who haven't come up yet. I mean, Noel V. Marte and George Kirby. So this is an organization that's on the rise.
Ty France.
I mentioned Ty France. He's the first guy I mentioned.
I know. It seemed like you just passed him over, though.
No, Ty France is one of those guys that his window to hit is maybe this year only or half of this year. Like because he doesn't have a clear-cut good defensive position, even though he can play a few, he has to hit and he has to hit a lot to kind of crystallize his place in the Mariners' long-term plans because of all the other players coming up behind him. But he's mashed in the upper levels of the minors, so I think he's interesting. I think he's one of those Nando guys that I look at and yes. I nod along. I'm like, yeah, I'm in on Ty France where he's going. I think he makes sense.
Knowing that it's Kyle Seager's last year, as Mather pointed out, the sky's the limit for Ty France. All right, sorry, DVR, I cut you off. Go ahead, continue the monologue. It was good.
No, I mean that's pretty much it. I mean, like it's really across every position. They've got something or someone that's pretty interesting. They have a job battle. They have multiple prospects in some cases vying for those opportunities. I mean, if Dylan Moore doesn't stick at second base, it could be France or it could be Shed Long, who at least was a back end top 100 prospect not that long ago. And I just think it's exciting to have a team where you're not just wondering who the next guy actually is. There are names in this depth chart that you want to see get an opportunity.
Ian, listening to this, and I know, you know, we'll probably do our traditional over-under show in a couple weeks, but I mean, are you like me? I'm getting a little hyped for the Mariners, and I know it's sad that it had to come out of this ridiculous moment in time, but you know, like just frankly, this is fantasy gold, and I'm gonna, you know, Logan Gilbert, I've moved up maybe like 100 spots on my rankings.
Yeah, I mean, let me speak first just to watching the video, because I saw this thing. As soon as it came out on, I think he said it Friday, and it came out on Sunday on Twitter. And I said, this guy just tells you everything. It says Kelenic's not, this is what I read. Kelenic decided not to sign the 8-year contract, so he's not going to be coming up. And there's a video of this. So I was like, oh, wow, all right. And oh, Matt, okay. I mean, boom, press the video. Watching this was like watching a car chase in LA when I used to live out there, right? They show car chases, and a fast one where you know the thing is going to explode. It's both fascinating to watch and deeply depressing because of the incendiary comments of the man. And ridiculously honest. I mean, him basically saying Kelenic is betting on himself. We'll see if he's right. I was just like, ooh, that's bad. Then when he gets into the Julio Rodriguez, ooh, that's bad. And he says, Kyle Seager, this will be Kyle Seager's last year in Seattle. Ooh, that's bad. Like everything he said. I was like, are you really saying this? Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what are you doing? It also, you know, him talking about Haniger and he's going to be an all-star this year. It's like, slow down. The man hasn't seen pitching in 2 years. And when he was there, he wasn't at the all-star level. I actually think watching that, it actually told me everything that I wanted to know about the Seattle Mariners. He basically said, we're looking for a second baseman. That made me drop Dylan Moore in my estimation. Because, I love Dylan Moore last year for free. Loved him last year for free. This year he's not for free. Do I love him at the price? I don't. And then after seeing what Mather said, it became pretty clear. The Seager situation was insane. Him talking about Kikuchi and saying that he wasn't really good and that he was annoyed about the translator. No,
that was
stuff.
Iwakuma.
It was just
that was
insane. Okay, but all of it, it was just rude. It was wrong and fascinating to watch. So I ended up watching most of it, and then I think a family thing called me away. But
sit-ups.
But okay, so I Kalanick. No sit-ups. Kalanick, yeah, coming up apparently April. As soon as that clock changes, April 16th, 17th, 18th certainly becomes a redraft target. I got a text message from a guy I'm in a dynasty league with who said, well, Julio Rodriguez is not coming up this year. That's pretty clear. Please trade him to me, right? You know, so there's a lot of news that came out of that. It was like you really got the inside scoop on what the Seattle Mariners were thinking. Do I think that they're viable for this year to make the playoffs? No, he even said that himself. He said, I feel like we're a year away, but there's a long-term goodness happening in Seattle. I do agree with that. And I do think that there's a lot of upside moving forward in Seattle. I think he was talking up Evan White, like Evan White was the greatest thing. And I think that's because he's got a 7-year contract with the kid. But he was like, Evan White can hit. Look at the underlying numbers. I mean, it was really interesting. It was like, huh? I think you're tough dude to be saying the things you're saying, but I'm kind of interested to hear it. So that was my takeaway. I think 2022 is a good year for the Mariners, and I think 2024 is going to be amazing.
I agree. I'm excited to see what their over under is going to be because it just seems like they have pieces that can come together, kind of on the down low.
76, 77. I mean, it's not a great division, so maybe a little higher. Maybe they get up to 82. I mean, but do I see them winning the division? I don't. I think the pitching isn't there. I don't think the pitching is there. And there's a lot of moving pieces. I do think Ty France is going to play, and I think third base in 2022 is a possibility. I was disappointed to hear him say that they need to get another second baseman. And he's just like, but the most newsworthy thing was the Kalanick sort of saying Dylan Moore might start in left field for a few weeks. And then Jared Kalanick will be up and we're going to, and then, you know, who knows, in 6 years, maybe he'll still be mad at us. It was really weird to watch. It was a weird power play. It was weird.
I don't know. I guess he thought like no one would be recording this, you know, like if this was live, he'd just be talking and it would be normal. No one would ever hear about it.
It's what he did. He was talking with complete, as DVR said, completely unfiltered. Completely unfiltered. Like Mike the Mouth. It was like Mike the Mouth, but from the president of, you know, Seattle. We'll see how it plays out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's talk about Yoan Moncada. There's no segue for this. He's just next on the rundown in my stream of consciousness. I was putting it together because I guess maybe the theme is undervalued. No one's paying attention to things. Yoan Moncada has talked about how COVID really messed him up last year. In terms of just like not being right and being foggy and stuff like that. And people aren't on him for whatever reason this year, and they've already forgotten the season that he had 2 years ago. I know there are a lot of factors in Chicago. You know, some other bats, Luis Robert, which, I mean, should help him. But Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Jose Abreu, and Yoan, like, that's like a very, very dangerous group.
Tim Anderson, yeah. Nick Madrigal. I mean, it's a great line. Great
Andrew
team.
Vaughn on his
great
way up. Team. I mean, it's.
And they're talking about Vaughn actually coming up and starting the season. Like, Rick Hahn said that. He said it looks like he has a good chance to make the team, which makes sense because the Encarnacion spot is empty. So yeah, it's a really
let's wait and see what Rakan says at the luncheon before we make these kind of declarative statements. But yeah, and I mean, managed by the guy who managed the Bash Brothers, which is very interesting and fun.
That's bizarre.
It's also bizarre.
That's also weird.
But I mean, like, are we undervaluing Yoan Moncada? I mean, is this like someone who's just going to step up and next year would be like, well, man, we should have taken him in like the top 25 because he's
amazing. We'll let DVR go first because my take is bizarre. Go ahead, DVR.
I mean, the Moncada thing is tough because I think 2019 was already the type of season where you looked at it and said, okay, this was really good, but is this sustainable? He's not the player he was in 2020. I think he's been really honest about how much COVID impacted him. It impacted how he was working out. It sapped his strength. That's supported pretty clearly in StatCast numbers and the overall performance, right? It's not hard to see how that is true. How much of what he did in 2019 is sustainable? I think that's the better question. That was a question we would have been asking last draft season too. So we're kind of right back to the same place we were this time last year. He's still pretty young. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's in a good lineup that has a high volume of playing time. So counting stats should be good. The exit velocity numbers are there, even if the K rate stays high. So you're probably getting a better batting average than you should for a guy that strikes out maybe 30% of the time. You got down below that in that great 2019 season. The price right now in February, if you're drafting Yoan Moncada, ADP is pick 85 in the NFBC since February 1st. At the price, I could see drafting him there. I don't think he's a steal or a must draft player at that price, but I think he's appropriately priced and would be solid. I mean, think about him compared to Nick Castellanos, who goes near him, right? Similar run production. Moncada, I think, has a little more raw power. Castellanos has done it for a little longer, so you get a little more floor with Castellanos, but you get a little more ceiling with Moncada. He was going, what, 40 picks earlier last year? Moncada versus Lourdes Gurriel. Like, that's, for me, that's Moncada. That's a pretty easy call. And they're right next to each other. And you get a couple guys that do different things, like Jeff McNeil and Charlie Blackman. So if you're trying to make up some ground in batting average, you're not looking for as much power, maybe you pivot and go to one of those guys instead of Moncada. But it really, to me, seems like an appropriate discount for a player that did have some questions to be asked coming off that great 2019 season anyway.
I'm about to say something that's very bizarre. I saw something last week about Yoan Moncada that changed how I think about him as a target for me this season. Okay, for sure.
Good or bad?
Yoan Moncada's new music video will get you pumped for the White Sox season. Did you guys see this video?
I'm sorry, man. I missed BuzzFeed the last few weeks.
That's okay. It started out as a hobby, meaning I always loved to sing at home. Moncada says, but one day I published a song on Instagram singing one of the songs, and he responded to me. We talked about getting together for a song when I was in Miami. That opened the door for me. That's how I got my first song. This, sorry.
Is the song any good?
I don't really know. I mean, it's fine. Yeah, sure. It's good. But what struck me was baseball's a very hard sport, and it requires, and people can come back at me about this, and I respect their opinion. I'm just giving my opinion on this. As soon as I saw that he was trying to be a pop star at the same time as trying to be a professional baseball player, he went down in my rankings personally. They're my rankings, and they went down personally because I said, I know what it is to try to make it in the world of arts, you really got to dedicate yourself to that. And if you're dedicating yourself to that, then you're not thinking about baseball 24/7 in the way that I would hope that you would, especially coming off a tough season where you were injured. And I watched the video and I just thought, yeah, you're thinking about other stuff, and that's fine. You're allowed to, but it's also fine for me to then shift my opinion slightly on him and sort of say he's not for me. And he could have an amazing season, and maybe him focusing on music is a way forward for him to sort of take his mind off his troubles with the bat. I just would rather him focus on the bat and focus on the game. And if you watch the video, you know, it's him dancing in front of like six women in bathing suits and stuff. And I just sort of went, okay. Good on Yoan Moncada, but not as good for me in terms of I want to target him when there are so many other third basemen late that I kind of like. So I'm not gonna waste my draft capital at that time on a player like that.
Hit number 25 on Billboard's top tropical
good for him
songs.
So he's going to, once he's at there, then he's going to be doing concerts. He's going to be doing stuff. And that takes a certain amount of focus away. It's a little bit for me, like when Matt Kemp dated Rihanna, you're going into a different world. And now obviously he's not dating a music star. Now he's becoming a music star. When you get into that world, having been, you know, you're living in a different world than the baseball world. That's it. I don't know. Does that sound crazy to you guys, or does it sound a little too puritanical on my part? It's just my vibe. It just made me go, ooh, not sure about Moncada. If you take him, great. I'm not saying I don't say sell him cheap. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for me, it makes me take a step back from him in 2021.
You know, I got to apologize because I was looking up all the stories on this. Did you read, I assume you're reading off the MLB.com article, right?
I don't know. No, I literally saw the video and went, oh my God.
Did you hear, I mean, the clincher quote that he had on MLB.com was, I'm concentrating on baseball and that's what's most important. Moncada said, after the season is over, then I'll make a few more songs, but everything is little by little. I'm a better baseball player that sings a little bit. Does that make you feel any better? Does that make you feel better?
It does, actually. It makes me feel at least he's putting the focus in the appropriate place. I don't know. I mean, is that, it's how I play the game, right? It's always how I play the game.
And you win.
I'm always, well, but it's how I play the game, which is I look at the person and see what's going on for the person at that time. Because I think who you are matters over a course of 162 games. DVR, do you think you heard that whole thing? Do you think that's crazy, or is there just a speck of possible value to what I said?
I don't have a lot of concerns about a player having a side hobby like that. I mean, it's sort of like what Didi Gregorius learned how to play piano when he was rehabbing from Tommy John surgery. And I wouldn't have argued that Didi wasn't taking his rehab seriously because
I wouldn't argue that
play the piano, right? Like I actually think it's good for a player to have other outlets like that, creative outlets, whatever it might be, other hobbies to, you know, break up the time when they're not training. So I wouldn't see that and have any sort of negative reaction to it at all.
Cool. Okay. Well, hey, listen, and like I said at the top, I could be wrong about this. I think it's a bit of a out there take. It's just what instantly hit me. I went, ooh, coming off of that season, I'd love to, you know, it's a different world out there. It's just a different world. But again, I might be being remarkably puritanical here and 100% dead wrong. It's just when I saw that it was on the rundown, I went, that's what I'm going to talk about.
I'll give him this. Like 3 years ago, right after the 2018 season, everyone's talking about how much he struck out and how much he didn't walk. And, you know, like it's a hopeless cause. And there are a bunch of stories about how he went in the offseason and made a point. You know, went to Chicago, moved to Chicago or whatever. Worked with the hitting coaches. I think it was Don Cooper at the time, was still there, and just like really went like in and figured out how to walk more and be more patient and not strike out as much. And he did it. And that's, you know, he broke out in 2019 because of that. So I think if he didn't have that in his past, I would be like, all right, maybe. But the fact that he recognized it and took the time and like fixed these flaws in his game that everyone was chirping about after 2018, I don't know. I feel like maybe he gets a pass for me. For me.
Cool.
I'm not trying to.
Sounds good.
Just for me.
Sounds good.
That's all.
No. And look, I mean, the thing about our show, the thing about any show is you're sharing your opinion in that moment. I mean, I may come out and see him in his first game in spring training and say, wow, look at him. He's in the best shape I've ever seen him in. He's like, you know, bulldogging it. It was just when I saw the video, that was my first hit. I was like, ooh, man, you know, you're going to be, which would you rather, you know, like, would you rather be the greatest third baseman in baseball? Or would you rather be the number one pop star in the world?
That's actually a good question. What would you rather be in?
Best third baseman in baseball, for
all
sure.
Right, you can go back when you're 50 and do like pop star reunion tours and stuff. You can't do that.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Ain't nobody want to see my
I'm
dumb
just saying.
Ass.
I mean, you know, that like.
Yeah, no. It, for me, and for him, again, this just it's a thought. It's a thought that I had, but I'm good. I don't understand this next on the rundown from Zach Buchanan's D-back preview. Who are we talking about here?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that was Starling Marte. So, I'm sorry, Kettle Marte. So here, I want to hit that, and then I want to get into the Ian rankings. And then I think we can skip the Austin Riley and Greg Bird, CJ Cron stuff for now and get some questions.
I also have answers from our listeners on the when DVR says something genius, what we should say. I did. We do have three of those.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm excited to share.
So let me just hit this quick because I just read it this morning. Kettle Marte, Zach Buchanan did a story. It was a Diamondbacks preview. It pops up in our fantasy section if you want to check it out. But he basically previewed the whole thing and said the offense is kind of geared toward Kettle Marte right now. Even the defense, the way they're going to work the defense is going to be kind of geared toward making Kettle Marte comfortable. And so here's the quote. The 27-year-old is ready to put his 2020 struggles behind him. Last year, in a 60-game schedule, I tried to be aggressive early, he said, via an interpreter explaining his walk numbers. I'm expecting to have another season like 2019 with my approach and, more importantly, my health. The first half of that caught me. Like, he was being aggressive early because it was a 60-game season. And I feel like, I'm going to put it this way. So tonight I'm doing this, the FSGA, there's like a betting contest where you have to pick a bunch of props, you know, futures, and assign dollar values to them by, depending on which round you pick. So it's like a draft. So I'm picking very last. I think I'm picking 12th, and then it snakes back to me with the first pick of the next round. But I've got my eye on $300, Pete Alonso leading the major league in leading the major leagues in home runs by the All-Star break. And I'm sorry, leading the National League in home runs by the All-Star break. And I think it's going to fall to me because I don't think people believe in him. But I feel like more and more, 2020, I'm just giving a pass to because of things like this, like what Ketel Marte just said. I was being aggressive early on. It was a 60-game season, and it backfired on him. And a lot of people are going to be like, well, I'm going to go back to what worked for me the year before because it's not a bizarro season. Is this, I mean, are we going to see more of this? Is this proof that maybe we should just be discounting 2020 a little more than we are, DVR?
I think the last part of what Marte said was pretty interesting too. He was hurt last year. He had a wrist injury, and we know wrist injuries are one of the many injuries that sap power from a player. I think there's a little bit of a Moncada similarity just in that you have a guy that had reached a career high in 2019 and then fell very far short of that. Just two homers last season from Ketel Marte. One stolen base, right? I mean, I would have figured if he wasn't hitting for power, he would have been stealing bases. He didn't do either one of those things. I look at this, I think he's a good bounce back target as well in the same range. I mean, like they're both in the pick 80 range. I'm happy with Marte in that spot because I think the floor is really good. I like Moncada better because I think Moncada brings a more sustainable ceiling. One thing I didn't say when we were talking about Moncada, he runs a little bit more in a typical season than people realize. 12 steals in 2018, 10 steals in 2019. I didn't even attempt to steal in the shortened season, so we'll see if he has to run as much this year. Maybe with the offense being better, you know, he ticks down to the 6-8 range, but it's not a zero in that category most seasons to go with that power. So I would give the edge to Moncada, but I think Ketel Marte is at least comparable to like a Jeff McNeil who goes in that same range, so viable for sure.
Ian, I know you like to get a little more earthy like me. Like, is this going to be a mindset of a lot of players? Like, I came into 2019 swinging as hard as I could at everything, and, you know, that's why my numbers sucked.
I mean, maybe. And actually, I like reading that he's – and I liked hearing what DVR said about the wrist, because it was such a disappointing season from Ketel Marte last year that I did discount him quite a bit. And actually, if I were had my choice in a draft between Marte and Moncada, I would take Marte. And the reason I would is not because of the music video. It's because second base is it's just harder to fill with a good piece, right? I mean, once you get past LeMahieu, Albies, and you could argue Altuve, go back and forth on Altuve, there's really just not that much depth at that position. Whereas, again, at third base, I think it's a deep position to an extent. It doesn't go so deep unless there are guys you like towards the end, which I really kind of do. So for me, Ketel Marte, I'll give him a bit of a pass on last year with the upside that he could fit this year and have a real bounce back. Sure, I do. I do think that. I'm more keen on Marte and his floor than the possibility of Moncada's ceiling right now. But I could be wrong, but that's where I'm at right now.
All right, cool. Let's move on to, I think you just gave a quick answer because you wanted to get to your rankings. So
no.
I think I know what's up. Yeah.
It's all I had.
let's go. So this is, and I'm just, like, I'm not saying, you know, I would tell you the truth if I didn't feel this way, or I just wouldn't say anything. Ian has come up with a brilliant idea for how he's going to present his dynasty rankings this year that we don't think has ever been done before. At least Ian doesn't, and on a cursory Google search, I didn't find anything. So, Ian, take the floor, man. This is very exciting stuff, and it's going to be up, well, I don't know if you're, by Wednesday morning when everybody wakes up, Ian's dynasty rankings are going to be there for the taking. And I believe, I'm pretty sure, like, all the stories have a special subscription offer if you're not already subscribed. But DVR, don't we have a special code? Do we still do that?
Yeah, theathletic.com/fantasybaseballpodcast, I believe, is the URL we're using.
Come on, you're supposed to know this stuff. I don't know. That wasn't like a clever setup for DVR. I honestly
no,
don't know.
That's,
I can never
that's
remember.
What it is. We have promo codes like that, and then we have some other survey links and different things, and then we have actual ad read codes. That's why I confuse stuff all the time. But yes, that is the correct URL.
All right. Check that out. Or just click on Ian's column tomorrow and subscribe off of that if you're not a subscriber already.
Sweet.
All right, Ian, like you got the floor, man. Go for it, man. This is a big moment for all of us here.
I mean, all right, let's not oversell it too hard. But
this is the greatest moment in the history of The Athletic.
All right, so I think it was in September, August of last year, and Ariel Cohen and I were talking, and he I'm not going to do the impression right now. I'm still working on it. And he asked me, he said, you know, Ian, wouldn't it make more sense to have two sets of dynasty rankings? A set that's for regular rankings and then also a set that's for rebuilding teams. So really a set for competing teams and a set for rebuilding teams. And I was like, Ariel, shut up. I was like, I'm too busy to do one. And then as I was thinking about moving over from when we made the move to RotoWire, and in the moment, I said, it's a good idea, but I don't want to do it. And then as we were moving over, I thought to myself, it's a good idea, and I do want to do it. So what I decided to do to bring to The Athletic, which is a little bit different, I think, is that idea to do two sets of rankings. So we have your basic dynasty rankings that you would see on my old at RotoWire. I used to do just a basic set. These are the top guys. So we have that. But we also have one that is specifically for rebuilding teams. Now, here's what gets really important. If you look at both sets of rankings, right, and you see that Jacob deGrom is at 39 on the rebuild ranking and that Bobby Witt is at 40 on the rebuild ranking, if you go by that list and you have Jacob deGrom and you get Bobby Witt, you're doing it wrong. Don't do that. All trade values go to the other list. The rebuild list is for startup dynasty leagues, the guys that you want to target. So at 39, I have Jacob deGrom down there. You're not, because I don't want you to take pitching at all, because you're rebuilding or you're starting from scratch. And if you start from scratch, you do not want to take pitchers, period. Because pitchers, young pitchers are going to either struggle or get Tommy John. Older pitchers are either going to, you know, fall off a little bit or get Tommy John. But either way, most likely someone's going to get Tommy John, and then your investment just drops by 80%. So when you're in that rebuild place, you don't want to be drafting starting pitchers. You don't want to be drafting closers, and you don't really want to be drafting catchers unless you're doing Adley Rutschman, in which case there is some upside there. Otherwise, it's just a tough position to cover. So here's the cool, what I think, I hope is cool. You look and you say, all right, I want Bobby Witt Jr. Where is he on that list? Where is he on the competing list? At 75, where is DeGrom on the competing list? I think at 19 or 20, something like that. So then you make that trade based on that, 21 to 75. So you're going to need to get another top 40 player or top 50 player or two more prospects or three more prospects, depending on how it plays out, to get to Jacob deGrom. But the one thing to be mindful of is you don't want to use the rebuild list for your prices. That's not what it's there for. It's there to show you, in my opinion, just my opinion, who you want. That's who you want next. So like here, I'm going to pull it up for a second. So on the rebuild list, you've got Jared Kelenic at 16. Julio Rodriguez at 17, Marco Luciano at 18.
Well, Kelenic will be happy about that.
Well, in April he will be. And then you've got somebody on this list like Jacob deGrom, 39. Push pitching down. Just keep pushing pitching down. Luis Castillo is at 48. So the prospects on that list, I want you to take them. That's the point. Because DeGrom's going to be gone by the time you get to 38. There's no chance you're going to get him. You're not going to get Luis Castillo at 48. He's going to be gone. You want to focus on the young bats, and the list is set up for that. So that's the idea behind it. I hope you like it. I'm sure there are going to be people who are going to say, this is insane, and I'll be very happy to do my best to answer in the comments any questions that you have. And I'm really excited to be working at The Athletic. It's a cool, to be a contributor, I should say, to be a contributor at The Athletic. It's a really cool thing. So thanks. And that's what we're doing.
We're all contributors in our own little way. You know,
any questions or like further clarifications on it, or did I do a decent job explaining it?
I thought that was fantastic.
And but you read the article. DVR did not read
good
the article.
Good point. Yeah, actually. Yeah,
I so, like, you got a new one. You're my editor. You're the editor who pointed out you spelled DeGrom wrong every time.
Every time.
True.
Every time.
Well, if I misspelled it once, it means I was anyway. DVR, go. Any thoughts?
I love the concept. I have not seen the execution yet, but I mean, I know having seen Dynasty rankings done in the past, they're going to be great. So I think it makes way more sense having multiple lists than trying to jam all of the possible strategies from a Dynasty League into one list. I think a list of rankings, this is coming from someone who does redraft rankings, it's really hard to communicate all the different ways you would need to rethink something on the list throughout the way. It's impossible. You can't do it, right? We were just talking about the Ketel Marte, Yoan Moncada thing in a redraft, and when you look at that pocket, how there's different types of players. There are batting average first guys that have less power and decent run production, but then there's the low average big power guys, and then there's starting pitchers in that range. And when you rank players all against each other, there's not a great way to tell people, if you've done this so far, go here instead. Right? I mean, like, there's so little that separates players that are near each other in a ranking. So I'm starting to think about this from a redraft perspective, and maybe there's not an obvious apples to apples sort of adjustment, but I love having lists that are going to provide some context just by the very nature of how they're structured, because it's very difficult to convey that nuance otherwise.
Should we make them two separate? Should we make them two separate columns, or put them in just one?
No. They go in the same column, because I don't want people to get confused. And at the top it says, "Stop, read this. Please read this, or you're going to set yourself up for a world of trouble." I just want to point out one player that's on two different lists. Darvish is at 134 on the rebuild, and I think 59 on the regular dynasty list. Because you don't want Yu Darvish on your team if you're rebuilding. And there's no chance, zero chance, that you're going to get him at 139. Also, what hopefully the list will do is tell you who to target. Like, I it's there to say, if you're rebuilding in Dynasty Leagues, which I'm a fan of, do it smartly. Don't get caught in the joy of it. Like, that's the danger, right? We've talked about this on the show before, that once you make that first trade, it feels so good, right? Especially if you make a good trade, that you want it. You want more Pringles, baby. Give me the Pringles, more trades. And then when you're in that place, you might emotionally make a trade just to make a trade. I've seen that happen to too many good players. It's like being opposite tilt in poker, where you're just like, give it to me. I want to play. I want to make trades. That's when you start forcing things, when you get into trouble. So anyway, this is that's the idea behind it. And that's it. That's the list.
I like it. I'm excited.
All right.
I haven't actually seen the rankings yet. I've only seen the introduction. So I'm excited to see the rankings, just see where some of my guys are.
You ask a question, I'll tell you. I'll tell you right now.
Rylan Bannon. Did he make it?
No, sir. He did not.
How about Jose De Leon?
No, sir. He didn't.
All right.
No, though I do like that Jose De Leon, and I like that play. It's yeah. So
you want to hear a quick mess up before we go to the email questions that I made?
Sure. Yes.
We're doing another. Vaccaro and I do three $150 draft champions every year. You know, we do one early, we do one middle, and we do one late. And so we're in the middle one right now. And once again, he kind of left me without a lot of catcher middle infielders. So I got to pick up. But I did, like, sticking in my head was like, I got to get De Leon early because he got sniped from me last time in the 34th round. And I think, so I grabbed him in the 34th round, and then remembered that it was the 43rd and I had just transposed the numbers. So,
well, I'm in the midst, RDI, which is the Dynasty League, the RotoWire Dynasty Invitational that I shared a team with James Anderson for the last 3 years. That league folded, which is what it is. But we are now doing a $400 draft champions together and having a good amount of fun. And we are in the 14th round right now.
Who are you doing it with?
James Anderson, and I are doing a $400 draft champions currently.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
TVR, why don't you give us a question from Jordy?
All right. Jordy is curious if we have any interest in Sheldon Noisy as a Dodger. Now, he sent this question before they brought back Justin Turner. I replied to him via email real quick and said, are you still interested in Sheldon Noisy? And the answer was, well, sort of. So,
what a nice thing to do, man.
Yeah.
That was just bad timing.
Holy crap. Yeah, but I mean, like, just for you to write back and be like, hey, you know.
Do you still care about this player? And like, yeah, that's I kind of do.
That's why he's the Ciabatta. That's why
he's award winning.
It's why he's Derek Van Riper and why we got lucky. He could have done better. And apparently he already has.
Would you rather be a pop star or a third baseman, best third baseman in baseball for 5 years?
I'm going to put $100 on this answer.
12-year career. Oh, hold on a minute. 12-year career. For 5 years, you are the best. And, you know, the rest of the time, you know, you're good. You're serviceable. You maybe finish your career with a .222 average and 200 at-bats. People argue if you should be a Hall of Famer or not. Or huge pop star.
Okay, ball player. I'll be mostly forgotten after I'm done playing, and I would really prefer that.
I was gonna give 100-1 odds on that. Like I knew the answer to that one. I guess we have to ask you now, Nando. You got 5 years as the best third baseman in baseball, a nice 12-year career, you make $100 million, or you are a pop star, you make $100 million and you travel the globe. Which do you pick? Nando, who do you pick?
I'm just laughing because I think it's the opposite likelihood that you go the other direction.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, pop star, spend a little more time with your family. But you really don't. Tap into your pop stardom for the rest of your life and be set for generations. Like what Evan White says, $24 million gets you set for life. $55 million gets your family and your grandkids set for life.
Yeah, it's overrated. No.
I don't think you ever get to turn it off if you reach pop star level. I think a ball player, you can be a great ball player for a decade, and eventually you get your life back. I don't think a pop star ever gets their life back.
Mike Schmidt is not being chased.
The earnings potential with pop stardom is like 7 times.
I mean,
you can just keep dipping into that well, man.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing that at all. I mean, I think the ceiling is almost limitless, but I don't want that life.
Yeah, I mean, life
is whatever you want to make it, really.
So, yeah, I'm with DVR for sure on this one. I would not want to be a pop star, not even for a day. Like, I would not choose that life.
All right, let me just before crazy. We answer the question, and I'm sorry, Jordy, but I need to know this now. Because you think like a guy like Kevin Costner, who had the fame and then moved out to like some ranch in Montana, and he's even doing a show out in Montana now. Which, by the way, great show. I don't know if anyone's watching Yellowstone, but it's great.
that's so funny. I'm just gonna
Let me put him then against Nolan Arenado, basically.
I would still take Arenado. I mean, I personally, and I've been in that field for a long time, being an actor and being like a super famous actor, like my level of fame is perfect because I'll go on the subway and people will just look at me for a long time and like look at me angrily. Have I ever told this story on the show where it took me like 2 years to figure out why everyone looked pissed off at me on the subway? Have I told this?
Were you a jerk to Sarah Jessica Parker?
No. I would sit on the subway, right? Character. Not at all. No, I was lovely. Watch the show. Not at all. I'm sitting on the subway, and for years, and this is before masks, right? I haven't been on the subway since COVID started. People would sit across from me and look at me like I pissed them off, right? So I got to the point where I'd get on the subway a little paranoid. Like, I'd just be like, try to keep my head down, and like, I don't want to piss anybody off. So then there's this guy sitting across from me one day, and he looks like he's going to kick my ass, like straight up. And I'm like, all right, man. You want to go? If I have to defend, I will go. I'm not small. Let's, you know, we got to play. We'll play. And so like, I'm like, all right, whatever, dude. And I'm like looking at my phone, and then he stands up and walks towards me. I'm like, all right, here we go. And he says, excuse me, I can't place you. Do I know you from somewhere? And I went, oh, that's what it is. Everyone gets the like pissed off face when they're really thinking hard, trying to figure out where they know me from. You know?
All right, tell her, where do you know you from? Were you like George Washington, Marty Decker?
I said, I don't know, man. I grew up in Long Beach, Long Island. No, man, I don't know. No, I don't do that. Unless somebody says, are you this guy from the show? Otherwise, I'm going to say, nah, I just got one of those faces. I don't want to, I don't really. What's the upside? There's no upside. It's just
the upside is you made that guy's day, and he's like, "Oh my god, I loved you as George Washington." This is
if that guy comes over to me and says, "I love you as George Washington," I'll have a conversation with him about it. But otherwise, I don't. No, you know what's the worst part? You know what's the worst part? I learned this early. You say, they say, "Do you know you're an actor?" And then you start saying what you were on. They're like, "Nah, I didn't see that. Nah, I didn't see that." And then you feel like you're like, "Well, you know, I mean, did you see me on this? I mean, maybe you caught this episode of the, you know." And then it's just like, "Yeah, whatever, dude. All good. Nice to see you. I just look like a guy you went to high school with." That's typically what I say. Say, "I grew up in Long Beach, Long Island. Where'd you grow up?" River Edge, New Jersey. Okay. Anyway, so that's my little thing on Sheldon Noyes, man. I was sort of excited about Sheldon Noyes when DVR was talking about him about a month ago, being on the A's with a lot of places opening up and like, hey, maybe he's going to get some time. I do have him stashed in one league with Robert Mrazek. Oh. But then when he got traded to the Dodgers, I was just like, even before Turner came back, I was just sort of like, you know, is he going to play over Gavin Lux ever? Like, if he does, we got a real problem with Gavin Lux. But there's no upside for me on Sheldon Noyes at this point, I'm sorry to say. So that's what I would say to our fine listener. And thank you so much for sending in your question.
I think there's a little bit of a – he points this out in the email. You know, could he be like a Muncie or Kike or Chris Taylor, like a guy they acquire, doesn't really have a spot, but then he's actually pretty skilled. So once the opportunity arises – he becomes at least temporarily useful. I think he's kind of like that. And I don't know if he's going to get the full spot, though.
Right. That's my point. I mean,
I think he's a Kike replacement. I don't think he's the next Muncy. I think based on their depth chart anyway, that's how it's likely to play out.
But DVR, that's my question then, right? I mean, if you're going to play 3 days a week or 4 days a week, I don't want you to be playing 3-4 days a week. I need the at-bats. I need the counting stats. I need all those things. And to me, Noisy does not have any upside. I mean, yeah, sure. There are Chris Taylor seasons where what Taylor came up that first year playing with the Dodgers ended up playing every day. I just don't think Noisy is going to be that guy. So for me, there's no upside there.
Yeah, for now, I think he's NL only rather than mixed dynasty. Okay.
Right, yeah.
I was just going to say he's one of those guys I don't even like, you know, when you're going down your draft list, I just don't even stop and think about him because you know, some of those guys with like that nebulous role and you don't know what he's like you just said, he's Enrique Hernandez. And for me, that's, he's not going to steal a role. He's like forever destined to platoon or utility.
I think Kike Hernandez might play this year in Boston. I'm curious to see what happens.
I think that's Christian Arroyo. But I could be wrong. Yeah, but you know what? It's poor Ron Renicki's not there anymore, and it seemed like he was the guy who gave Christian Arroyo the shot. So I don't know how that's going to work out.
Do you think Kike, am I crazy on that Kike possibility there, DeVere, that he might get more playing time than we've ever seen him have?
Yeah, it's possible. I think a lot depends on how ready they think Jeter Downs is this year.
That'd be interesting. Yep. Another fair point. But they signed him to a 3-year deal, too. Man.
Why do they have Marwin and Kike on the same roster? I know flexibility is good.
That's it. He's dead to me. Kike's gone. Done. I should have caught that. Yeah. All right. What's next, Nando?
Next, Ian, why don't you take the next question from Josh from the coast?
Okay. Hi, guys. I'll save the superlative, but no, I love you all madly and deeply. Wow.
Thank you.
I play in a daily points league with an auction. I'm curious how I can best use the results of high-stake drafts to help in my draft prep. Also, and maybe this is for an auction strategy pod, which DVR did with Ariel Cohen, which I listened to so I could work on my Ariel Cohen impression. It's a lot of Ariel Cohen on the show. He needs his own sound. I think Ariel thinks
you're dodging him with this impression, by the way, man.
Yeah, he says that. But then when I tweeted him right before and I said, hey, do you want me to do the impression? He's like, if you think it's good.
There it is, everybody.
No, that wasn't it. I really actually have.
That literally was it. You just
no,
did
no,
it.
No. All right. Maybe I should just do it now. Just get it over with here.
What do you mean that wasn't it?
No, it's our
like
mega
I just
auction.
Ate a bowl of Cheerios, but I don't
need it's
cereal.
Our mega auction strategy podcast. Join us with guest Derek Van Riper from The Athletic. Pitchers and catchers are upon us. That's debatable between an auction strategy or a draft strategy.
You sound like Larry David's cousin from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, I did a movie with him. He played my dad. I know exactly who you mean. Well, that's, I don't know. That's my Ariel Cohen.
He looks like the father from Wonder Years, right? The same guy?
It's our mega auction strategy podcast. Join us with guest Derek Van Riper from The Athletic. That's it. That's
like a 50% Ariel Cohen and a 50% Professor Frink from The Simpsons. That's okay. Pretty good.
All right. I think
it's a tough voice to do.
It is. He comes at the end and he drops at the end of his sentences. So it's our mega auction. And he has a little like sales pitch in it too. He's like, don't forget to miss our big mega auction strategy podcast. And then he'll go real low. So he'll start high and then he'll go real low. Join us with guest DVR, Derek Van Riper. And then he'll do an odd kind of pop at a certain point on a word and on a syllable from The Athletic. And then he'll go down at the end of a sentences. He's genius, very smart, great player. Beat me last year. Very close, but beat me last year. He's the defending champion. And I tip my hat to him.
He scouted you.
Yeah, he did. I don't think that's why. But anyway, so it's the R.O. that you should put in. It's the R.O. Cohen podcast. And he did, you know, he did put the idea. He did bring the idea to me in September saying, I think you should do this. And I really thought about it. And I said, I think he's right. And I am going to do it. So I'm excited for that. Sorry, I can't get off topic. I'll say the superlatives talk. I find it hard to translate talk about snake drafts to my auction strategy. Any advice on how to find the signal from the noise? Josh, thanks. Josh from the coast. Derek, you spoke to this directly on Ariel and Reuven's podcast, Beat the Shift, which I can highly recommend. Do you have any, you want to share what you said?
Yeah, so this is something that I have done before, and I think Ariel was the one talking about it on the podcast episode, but you can take the auction results from your league from the previous year. Just take all the values and sort them in a spreadsheet, highest to lowest, and you can put those values in a column next to the current high stakes ADP, and that will still give you a really good basic one-to-one sort of idea of what players from the draft segment of the world in 2021 are going to cost in an auction. Now, a points league, you get to be a little more careful with a points league just because if your points league gets really far away from rotisserie scoring, some are pretty good at staying close. Some are so unique that it doesn't translate well. That's where things get a little bit messy. But I think you can take past auction results, kind of figure out what the values did, drop them in next to current ADP, and you've got something of a guide. And they do actually have on the high stakes ADP report for the NFBC. If you hit the second drop down from the left, it defaults to all drafts. There is an auction option in there. There is average auction values.
Cool.
And they've had only about a half dozen auctions so far. A lot of the NFBC auctions happen closer to opening day. But that also gives you a snapshot of what's going on in those rooms as well.
Sweet. Anything else? Any more? Oh, can I, Nando, can I do my DVR when DVR says something great?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, you're the one with the hard out, so take as much time as you need.
Thank you, sir. So a couple weeks ago, I said when DVR says something genius, we should come up with something, and some listeners sent some stuff, and there's one I like a lot. I like them all, and I appreciate them all, and thank you again for sending. So I think when DVR says, this is Patrick Ryan. I think when DVR says something so great, you guys should press record on that or rewind that. He definitely has some gems. So we should say, press record on that or rewind that. Okay, that's decent.
I like it.
When DVR nails something, call it a VDR. Very damn right. That was Matt Young. I like that.
I like it.
Now, this next one is from Steve G. First thing I thought of was DVR is dynamite in J.J. Walker style. But this is the one I really like from Miz. When DVR says something great, set your DVR on that one and binge watch on draft day. Boom. I like that. Because it brings in, you know what I mean? It brings in the DVR. Okay. I think you get it. But I really like that one.
Are you going to say that every time DVR makes a good point?
Yeah, set your DVR on that one and binge it on draft day, baby. I'll throw a baby in at the end to just give it a little. And yeah. And listen, if you didn't like the Earl Cohen impression, my apologies. And, you know, I'm still working on it. I will get it down at some point. And I'll really bring it out next time I do Beat the Shift.
Do you want us to cut that part out? Is it you going to demand that?
No.
Or is it cool if it stays in?
No, it's fine.
I think it takes a lot of vocal range because your best impressions that we've heard are De Niro and Christopher Walken and Gary Marshall. And Ariel doesn't sound like those people. So you've got to go a long way to get that voice right. I got a good tweet, too, by the way, that came in yesterday that involves Ryland Bannon, so I have to mention it.
Come on, really?
Yeah. Mac on Twitter sent a picture of a green refractor autograph Ryland Bannon that he must have bought after you recommended him on an episode of Under the Radar. And truly, like, merging two of our shows together. He's got a bottle of Consecration, a good beer from Russian River Brewing Company out in California, propping it up. So shout out to Mac for loving the shows and being as like locked in on our collective psyche as you could possibly be.
Cheers.
That is
cheers
amazing.
To that.
All right, we got to wrap this up. We hope this show was informative and helpful. We're like a month away from hot
super
and heavy
exciting.
Time.
And yeah, we hope it was fun. Listen, we hope it was fun. We hope you guys, when you come listen to our show, you get some good information. But most importantly, we're hoping you're having a good time hanging out with us. Because it really is. You're hanging out with the three guys who get along really well and who enjoy each other's company. And we get to share it with you guys, which we're very grateful for. So thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it.
And remember, you know, if you happen upon it, give Fantasy, Futures Focus? It's Prospects 1500.
Yes.
Futures Focus, the number 12 seed in the Acuna region. Give him a vote. Help him out.
Give him a listen, too.
Yeah, give him a listen. All right, I'm sorry. You're making me sound like an evil person by not saying also give him a listen.
Okay. Well, it's fine. Don't worry.
Give him a vote. Give him a listen. All right. Thank you for listening. It's fantasy season, baby. Let's go. This is no longer an off-season podcast. We're here. We're ready. Get hype. For the guy who will probably respond to any email sent to fantasypods@theathletic.com.
I will. I generally will answer all of those emails. I don't answer spam because I think I've become smart enough not to do that.
For the future producer of Superplexing, starring Yoan Moncada, Ian Khan.
We'll see you next week. Looking forward to it. Go in.
Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Good talk. Bye.